I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS, 3 meeps in a row.
Dave is my printer.
Turkey panic.
Jimmying the monkeys left and right.
Unlock the shit from the dead.
How many monkeys can you fit on your pole?
Old men CO2.
I liked him before he died.
The little short guy with the rock.
Preload your outrage.
You are part of the problem.
The red leather suit.
Who's a great comedian and a great person?
Jumping to assumptions with Tom.
Ready to rock recommendals with Randy and more. On this episode of The Morning Stream.
Many people are taking witchcraft very much more seriously. They believe it's made up of much more than just old wives' tales told in some shabby, gaslit backwater of Victorian Bloomsbury. How many witches of all types would you, as an expert, say are operating here in Britain today?
Well, witches, like everything else, is governed very much by supply and demand, and the population will carry its certain percentage or quota.
The hair smells like menthols anyway.
The Morning Stream. Sweep the leg. The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's TMS for Wednesday, November 10th, 2021. I am Scott Johnson. He is Brian Ibbett.
I am, and I've got my quota of witches, too, so yeah? That's good.
All right. Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
We should all have our quota of witches. That's a collective, right? People always thought it was a coven of witches. No, it's a quota.
It's a quota of
witches. I've got a quota of witches.
Yep. Murder of crows, quota of witches, right. Herd of cattle, and what's a bunch of monkeys? What do we call them?
A barrel of monkeys.
Is it a troop? Might be a troop.
There is a troop, yes.
Yeah, it could be a troop.
I think it even depends on the type of monkey.
Sorry, you brought this up, so now I have to say it. Barrel of monkeys, worst toy I ever had when I was a kid. It's so dumb. It's just a barrel full of little plastic monkeys, and what can they do? They can hook their hands together and hang from something. That's the extent of the toy.
Well, that's the point of the game, though, is to try and pull out as many monkeys as you can by... pulling one and then turning and trying to get them to hook arms and pull up another one.
Okay, now what you've just done is blown my mind because I didn't know there was a game involved.
There was an actual game involved. It wasn't just hook monkeys together.
I had no idea. I really didn't know there was a game. I never played the game then. I just dumped it out and hooked them up and went, all right, well, I guess that's it. Moving on to whatever Tonka thing I've got. I had no idea.
You either pull them out of the barrel or you dump the pile on the table and then try and you can only hold one monkey and you've got to lift and connect them all to get the largest number of monkeys you can.
And would people be successful in acquiring multiple monkeys in one pull?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Because I mean, as you're pulling them up, you can kind of it's like those movies where. Somebody's trapped in a jail cell and the keys are hanging on the post outside and they can kind of throw something, but they can kind of shimmy the rope left or right or that sort of thing to try and get it to. So you shimmy the monkeys left and right to get them to hook arms and pull.
I should have known there was a strategy. I had no idea that this was a thing. I'm blown away by this. This is how long did it take me to learn this? I had those things in all my life.
Next,
when I was
you're
going to
tell me that there was a game involved with Connect Four. I just dropped the chips down in the thing and
well, that
and
one
hit
I
the
knew.
Button and make them all fall.
What was the other one? Someone said in the chat. Oh, it's like Mousetrap. No one ever played it. Yeah, I never played the game. I knew that, but I knew
we,
it was.
We
a game.
Played the game. I mean, it's hard not to know that there's a game involved because there are actual spaces on the board that you're putting everything on.
Yeah.
Played the game maybe once or twice, but really it's all about assembling your big Rube Goldberg device.
Your mini Rube Goldberg child time thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It was a great time to be alive for a kid.
You learn cause and effect.
Yeah. And then you load
you learn how complicated you can make things to have them achieve one simple goal.
Darth Swifty wins, though, with this comment. You mean I can build with Legos? I thought they were just throwing at my brother. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, you can. I thought they were just for walking on. Yeah, yeah. No, they're
dual yeah. use, multiple use toys. Those damn things. All right. So rough night. I'll share with you why.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't get a lot of sleep, and here's why. At 2 o'clock in the morning, here's what I hear. I was going to capture it, but then I was too tired. But here's the sound.
Meep meep meep.
Like that. Three meeps in a row. Not one meep. Not okay. two meeps. Three meeps.
All right. How long a pause between
just a
sets of meeps
like that sets of meeps. So okay. I knew it wasn't,
I mean, how long a pause between sets of meeps?
Oh gosh. That was probably 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So it sucks.
So pretty frequent. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty frequent. And so what it turned out to be is it's our CO2 monitor thing.
Oh, and sure. Yeah.
This is the second time in a week that it has gone off and we can't figure out why, but it's also, in light of we have three other CO2 detectors that are not going off. The only one that is going off is 10 years plus old. So it's old. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just like, I think I detect something. I'm not sure. Meep, meep, meep. Like it's just an old man trying to still do its job. So we get up, we double check everything. The other monitors, which are brand new, are saying everything's fine. And it's in the same room as this thing. So we think it's just malfunctioning. The problem is when it was built into the house, it's part of a bigger Honeywell protection system thing they had at the time, which we don't use at all now.
Okay.
Because why would you? Because it's old and shitty and there's way better. This is like pre-internet of things and all that.
An anchor makes 11 products that do the same thing for $29.99.
Exactly. Like, exactly. That's a great point. I didn't even think about the how easy it is to just go buy the shit. But it's not, you know, and we're not going to pay the whatever $25 a month it was to keep that thing alive. And they were always like, well, we could come out and install the latest, greatest. I'm like, no, I'm not spending $1,000 on your stupid idea. So we just let all that lapse and sit. And whatever we could turn off, we did, and all that. But there's still some, like, you know, grandfathered stuff in there. And one of them is this stupid CO2 thing. And the reason it's a pain...
By the way, yeah. Just a CO detector. It's not...
I keep seeing CO2. Why do I say that?
Yeah, dioxide, CO2, monoxide, CO.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant.
One oxygen module.
The silent,
you got the carbon module or molecule, but just one oxygen molecule.
We're after the silent killer is what we're trying to get here. We're trying to kill it. So anyways, I mean, it's good to know that it's not a problem and this thing's just acting up because it's old. But it's also 2 o'clock in the effing morning. Why are you doing it right now? So anyway, it's all like built in kind of hardware wise into the wall. I can't just unscrew it. So I'm trying to figure out how to turn that damn thing off. I want to rip it out.
Can you at least get to where you can, and it's not battery, right? It's built into the house's wiring.
Correct. That's the problem. Or a problem. I mean, I could tear it apart, literally put a hole in the wall. It's fine. Patch it up. It's not that big a deal.
You might have to if you can't get the whole unit off in a clean way. Can you get like a little mini EMP blast and just fry that one device?
Do they have like a small foot radius EMP device?
Yeah, like, exactly, like Anchor for $19.99, the mini EMP blast.
Once again, Anchor bailing us out on Amazon. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it did confirm a thing for me, a theory I've had for a while, and maybe this is common knowledge, but I was never really sure if my dreams happen in real time, meaning if a dream takes 10 minutes, did I experience a 10-minute period of dreaming?
No way it doesn't. Yeah.
Or is it bam, flash, like a flash story, and you still feel it in a linear way?
Yes, right. You feel like it's, you know, 20 minutes things have happened, but you wake up and it's like, wow, I've been asleep for a minute and a half or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And I think there's plenty of science that supports that. But as a person who, you know, if you experience it, it always feels linear and like you're in the middle of it and it took hours and, you know, that sucks because you feel like that maybe screwed with your sleep. But really, it was a flash. It was like, bam, and you had it.
It's basically the Inner Light episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
There you go.
Oh, no. No, not that one.
Oh, not that one.
The one where Picard has that whole extra, you know, whole separate life, learns to play the flute, all that stuff.
Right.
All while he's knocked unconscious on the bridge for like a half an hour or something.
That's right. He's on the floor for like 20 minutes. The one I, right, yes, exactly. Icor's right. Sub Rosa, the horrible one.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, that episode has the opposite effect. It's only an hour long, yet it feels like 5 hours.
Yeah, you're not kidding. By the way, here's a great line from that that movie, or that TV show.
Yes, Peter Piper played the flute.
Yeah, I remember that scene. It was great. Peter Piper played the flute.
Yeah, I love that.
Peter
Piper played the flute.
So here's what happens. I'm in the middle of, or I'm having a dream. Mm-hmm. And that dream involved a machine, like a computer going, meep, meep, meep.
Oh, geez.
And it did it right then, which tells me that whole dream was flash inserted exactly at the moment that the beep happened. And so they integrated with each other. And our brains are weird. And that's all I wanted to say. Our brains are effed.
Yeah,
I didn't enjoy it. And then I couldn't go back to sleep. It's supposed to be loud. It's supposed to warn you. Oh, no. There's poisonous silent gas, odorless gas in the house. Get the F out kind of thing. But and my wife, just to be safe, she was like, well, I'm opening these windows anyway. And I'm like, well, honey, I think that thing's just effed. And she's like, well, I think it is too, but let's just be careful and whatever. And I'm like, the other CO2 things aren't ringing at all. She's like, doesn't matter. So she opens up like all the windows. It's like 38 degrees outside. So,
yeah, no kidding.
Really
feels
cold.
Feels like a bad trade-off.
Yeah.
Maybe what you do is you find the breaker for that, because it'll probably be a bunch of things in that area, right? That you find the breaker in your electrical box, turn that off, then get a power drill and just drill right into the center of that CO2 detector.
I like it. Just kill it right where it's hardest.
Just exactly. Just like from hell's heart, I stab at thee.
Yeah, I'm into that. I might have to film that if I do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, just make sure you turn off all, you know, the power to all that area.
Well, how was Puzzled Pint while I was dealing with that, or while that was warming itself up?
Puzzled Pint was a lot easier. Yeah. So this was, man, this was a great set of puzzles. It was all dealing with the seven wonders of the world, ancient world.
Yeah.
So you had the Colossus of Rhodes and the Pyramid of Giza and all that stuff. Lighthouse of Pharos? No. Is that right? Lighthouse of Pharos?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's right. Hmm. Anyway, each of the puzzles dealt with a different one of those. And if you've never done Puzzled Pint, I am here to tell you that... Alexandria, that's it. Pharos at Alexandria, Lighthouse at Alexandria. Yep. Lighthouse and Pharos, right, okay.
Yeah.
Go to Puzzled Pint. If you've never done one of these, go to Puzzled Pint, go to the Puzzles menu, download the PDFs, print them, and have fun at your own pace, leisurely with these puzzles, because they are freaking brilliant. They were brilliant, and it's a really easy set of puzzles to get into. You don't have a lot of crap to cut apart. Nothing, no scissors, no tape on last night's. And it really gives you a good idea of everything that that Puzzle Pint has. Really, really cool.
That's awesome. Seems like a good time. You reminded me before the show, no one wins, right? There's just, you just play.
Right. You just go there. You really are going there with the intent of just having fun, completing the puzzles. Yeah. I mean, and you know, on the top sheet that they give you, you'll write down your start time. And then when you're finished, you'll write down your end time, but there's no prizes. There's no, these guys take 2.5 hours. You know, none of that. It's all for fun and to support local restaurants and independent breweries and taverns and bars and restaurants in the area. It's really cool.
It's awesome. It's really, really cool thing. I've never done it, but I'd like to do it sometime.
Yeah. I mean, it's free. Download the puzzles. You don't have to give them your email address or anything. You just go, you download the PDF, print it out or do it with your Apple Pencil on your iPad if you're in one of these weird houses that don't have a printer anywhere in the house.
Sure.
Weird. Weird.
Weird. Like me, I don't
weird
have
anti-
one.
That's what I'm saying, Scott. Weird anti-printer person.
I am. I don't know what my problem is. My other one broke and you know what, though?
Listen, if you can get away with it, that's great.
I haven't
ship so much stuff and I don't want to sit there at the post office and wait
That's a good point.
I want to print stuff. I want to put it in the mailbox, a package, an envelope with some shirts in it, and just deal with it and not have to deal with anything else.
Well, here's the two excuses I have. All my merch Dave handles, so he does all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that helps, yes.
That helps a lot. Second thing.
Dave is your printer, basically.
Kind of, yeah. But if I do have something,
your HP office jet.
Exactly. But if I need to, his new cartridges are more money than he was when I bought him. Anyway, my wife is also real good at like, oh, hey, we need to send this free thing out to a winner on TMS. She'll take care of it. So she goes to the post office and waits forever.
Right.
I don't have to do any of that. So yes, on the one hand, I figured out how to be a printerless life. On the other hand, everyone else is doing it for me. So
yeah.
You're not wrong. I mean, I wouldn't mind another laser just to have around, but I just haven't gotten around.
See, and what I did is I realized that my printing needs are so few that I do that HP, whatever it is, HP Smart, HP Ink, whatever it is. So basically,
right?
It's a little subscription thing, super cheap printer, and then I'm on the very, very base level of this thing's on the internet. It says, oh, he's out of black ink, or he's going to be soon. Send him another cartridge. And
what's the price of that? And do you feel like it's a good value?
$4.99.
It's not bad.
6 months. I don't know the last time I paid it because my printing needs are so few and far between.
That's not too bad though.
No.
Hmm.
No, and be this other project, this freelance deal that I'm doing where I'm redeploying computers, again, I don't want to sit there and wait at FedEx to, you know, write up a label and that sort of thing. I want to slap a label on there, have it automatically let FedEx know that there's a package waiting to go out. I've got 4 or 5 of these coming in and out every week. So
yeah,
printer for me, there'd be no way I could.
You'd have to do it. Yeah. I tend toward laser, black and white laser, because they don't dry out. The toner lasts forever.
That's good.
Yep. Toner replacement cartridges aren't too bad. Like, it's kind of the way to go, but I say that, but the one I had it for like 12 years. The laser printer after 12 years is the one that died. And I'm talking like old USB 1.0 square connector on the one side.
Yep.
It's like, it may as well be parallel. It's so damn old.
It's a real port.
But we're better now. We're better now.
Totally. Cool.
All right. Dunaway time. You might know him. You might even like him.
I like him a lot.
I do too. I think he's pretty great.
And I like today's category a lot.
Oh, do you? I didn't see it yet.
I do.
I guess you didn't. You tell us.
You can't see it until I start the game.
Yeah, that's right.
You can get on the feud board, but you can't see what the topic is.
Glad you said that, because I haven't gotten in yet. I'm getting in now. Here's the buzzer test. Sweet. It worked.
There you go.
All right.
Reset.
Reset that.
Okay.
Hey, I hear someone's voice already for this. Hey, look who it is. It's Brian Dunaway joining us from South Carolina and the home of all things Mission Deep. Hello, Brian. How are you doing over there?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey, man.
Hello.
Haven't talked to you since Monday. Weird, weird.
Weird, man. It's been a normal week.
Yeah.
What a weird thing to happen in November.
Yeah. Actually, it gets real weird for me. We got early Thanksgiving this Sunday with my side of the family, because all of them are going to be out of town on actual Thanksgiving. So we're having a full-blown Thanksgiving this Sunday.
Kim's the making turkeys the turkey. Are stoked.
The whole thing, yeah, the turkeys are stoked. By the way, turkey's kind of hard to find right now. Don't know what's going on there, but...
Oh, God.
Shortage, is it a little turkey shortage business?
Turkey shortage.
Yeah.
Crap.
Turkey shortage was my wrestling name.
Why are you trying to create a turkey panic, Scott?
Look, I don't want to cause a turkey panic, but I will say this. My wife was in the store looking for a turkey, and she was standing by these two other ladies, and they were having this conversation where they said, we're the problem. We're creating the shortage just by being here and demanding we get our turkeys early. We're the problem. And I thought, you know what? You are kind of the problem.
This is funny. I've heard other people out and about. They're like, yeah, I haven't had a Thanksgiving in 2 years, so I'm starting everything early. So that's probably where the shortage is. Really heading out. Shortage.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, you know, comparatively early Thanksgiving, isn't it? Well, 25th. I guess it's probably right in the middle of the earliest and the latest dates it can be.
I think that sounds right to me.
I think, 21st is the earliest it can be?
Yeah.
If first falls on a Thursday?
Something to that effect. But, we're trying.
It's Thanksgiving, not turkey giving.
No.
Come on.
No.
We'll make it through.
We'll make it through. Right. Everything will be fine. Right. Let's find out who this listener is, though, so we can make it through this segment. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Kit London. How are you guys?
Kit London. Yay. Look, and this isn't even, I mean, you could say it's a conflict of interest because Kit and Brian play a video game together every week, but I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I think the rules hold. We're good. I think Kit can play.
Name video games Brian Dunaway has played with Kit London.
Yeah. The one answer.
Graveyard Keeper.
Yeah, there's only one. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here.
Number one answer Kit. Is.
Exactly. Brian will now explain to you how and what you could win. Brian.
Yes, I will. It's time to play the Tadpooley Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian will have to predict the answers that they gave us, and it's their job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Kit, your job is more important than ever because you're going to be working with one of these chuckleheads, and if you and your teammate wins, you're going to get a prize package that includes a game that really should be given out tomorrow, but we don't play Feud tomorrow. 1111 Memories Retold.
Ooh.
And Sword Legacy Omen.
Oh, wow. Oh, tomorrow's 1111
Veterans. Veterans Day.
Well, yeah, but it's also it's Skyrim 10-year anniversary day.
Oh, yes, far more important.
Far more important. Let's celebrate.
Far more important than the people who died and sacrificed their lives.
Thank you for your Skyrim.
Because back in the day, it was 11-11-11. It was like this holy moment of like video game release, and now it's 11-11-21. Anyway, back to your...
All right, anyway, so those are the games you can win. Here, that's the good news, is that if you win this, you install it today and then play it first thing tomorrow, and it's like you're playing it on the day it was meant to be played.
Yes.
How great is that?
Nice.
You guys need a topic, though, to be able to actually play this game. Happy to say this was another huge one for the Tadpool. 563 responses with answers. However, there turned out to be 115 different answers that people gave. So this one had a lot of people giving answers to it, but a lot of varied answers. But we have the top 10 on the board.
Yeah.
And... I will have you put your hands on your buzzers. Very few people said pass on this one. All right. Name. What is... not name. We asked the Tadpool. Hands on your buzzers. How do I do this thing again? We asked the Tadpool, who is your favorite stand-up comedian, living or dead?
Oh, dadgummit.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Show me Jerry Seinfeld.
What?
Number 10 answer on the board. It gives you some good points, but it's gives you 9 answers that can beat it for...
He's the GOAT, man.
Yes, he is.
I don't know. Everybody's still giving us so much love, and it's on everybody's mind. I'm not sure if those asked before or after. How about Norm MacDonald?
Show me Norm MacDonald!
Oh, he beat me. Damn it.
Just enough and gave myself some points.
Exactly.
That's a good way to do it. And you did hear me say, well, you must have, because you said Norm MacDonald, living or dead.
Living or dead. Yeah, that was the thing I was waiting on, because I was like, he's going to say something. And he said it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
all right.
Well done.
So you're going to be, you have control of the board, and you've got Kit London as a partner, much like your video game playing stream. Let's see what kind of damage the two of you can do in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kit London, how are you?
Fabulous. How are you?
Excellent. We're just going to have our own show here today.
Yeah. So. Why not?
It's like I just talked to you yesterday.
Yeah.
That's right.
Did you guys play yesterday? So, is that when you play? Is on Tuesdays?
Just a little over how many hours ago? Not too many hours ago. Last night at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Nice.
So not that long ago.
Nice.
So it's perfect. So we're still in sync.
Yeah.
Which is not a question or answer in this game. Sync is a band and not a comedian.
Nope.
Right.
Kit,
never funny.
London, do you have anything off the top of your head? I have several comedians that I love. But
George
I always
Carlin.
Like to...
Oh, George Carlin.
George That's Carlin. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
That was in my list.
Let's start with that one. Show me George Carlin.
Oh
yeah.
Number one.
Number one answer on the board.
It's not your big...
That was almost William Shatner level there.
Oh, Jesus. George Carlin, number one on the board. Oh, the beauty. Oh, Jesus.
Nothing can destroy.
What would Jesus...
Wrong one. Here it is.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, oh.
They're perfect.
Jesus.
And you thought it was gone and dead. I brought it back.
Yeah.
Kit London, do you have another guess?
Fluffy.
Fluffy?
Gabriel,
who is that?
Fluffy.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fluffy, yes. Perfect.
I don't know who Fluffy is. Who is that?
Fluffy is also known as Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh. Yes. Not Scott's favorite comedian, apparently. No.
Not a favorite of Scott's.
I don't know who that
is. All right. Show me Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias.
Oh, that's a shame.
Number 13 on the list.
Still, that was good. That was a good.
That was a good. It was a good guess. Didn't make the top 10, though.
Now, so I'm going to. The one I'm going to do, one of the most brilliant comedians of all time. Uh-huh. He is currently having a moment of negativity. It's not going well, but, you know, it doesn't change the fact that he's brilliant. I wish he wouldn't be kind of an ass in some other ways. But anyway, I think Dave Chappelle's on here.
All right, show me troubled stand-up comedian Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Okay.
Number four on the list.
Number four. That's actually lower than I thought. I thought that would have been higher.
Yeah, I think it might have been higher a few years ago. I think that's when it would have been higher.
Yeah, this actually was asked before
the kerfuffle.
His transphobic comments in that special.
Might be lower than now.
It'd probably be lower. I don't know. Yeah. Nobody went back into the survey and said, I'd like to change my answer,
that's
please.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's why I'm hesitating on a certain other name. I'll hold it in just in case. But because, you know, it's hard to deny the impact on comedy. But anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Let's go with. The name just.
There's so many great ones. That's the problem. We only got 10 that we can choose from. That's...
I really like Brian Regan. Let's put Regan on there.
Yeah, he's okay. He's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. Show me Brian Regan.
Oh, that's a crime.
I was very disappointed to see Brian Regan barely get a mention, but here's where I think the tadpole is a little shifty. Somebody in the tadpole is a little shifty. There were four votes or four submissions of Brian Regan.
Yeah.
All
of them spelled it Brain Regan.
What?
And they all came in, you know, I didn't see what time, but I'm guessing they all came in about the same time. So, Tadpole, come on.
You potato heads.
You're not picking a president. There's no stuff in the ballot box and stealing the election.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny. You know, if you were the person who voted four times for Brain Regan.
Right.
The gig is up.
Yeah, well done.
Or the jig is up.
Jig. Okay.
The jig is up. All right, so it's back.
All
to
right,
me.
So we're back and over to Kit and Brian. Yes.
Excellent. The graveyard keepers are going.
Kit and Brian. Meow.
Meow. Meow. Now. Meow. Okay. So I am gonna try to pull one out of the hat here. There's two that I'm thinking of that I grew up. There's two comedians that I grew up on when I was super young.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think how the tadpole, are they skewing a little older or a little younger? I'm going with Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
We all had the album, right?
Had the album. Yep. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep.
My mom did not want me to have it, but I had it.
That's right.
Show me Richard Pryor.
Oh my God. So they're younger people.
Richard Pryor, number 16 on the list. So
okay,
he's up so there, but did not make the top 10.
Carlin bridges the gap, but my Richard Pryor. Exactly. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that's what you learned from this experience. Yeah.
Yeah,
he is funny. He's great. All right,
City in the chat room. By the way, I've just got to call him out. You all need to listen to better comedy.
Oh, come on, City.
Oh,
and
my
And I take like, this, oh really, George Carlin? Come on, Norm McDonald.
We're not even saying this is our favorite comedy. We're saying this is what we think the tadpole
correct
would have said was their favorite comedy.
Right, exactly.
Correct, yes. Which could be very different answers.
But City and maybe pointing at the tadpole instead of me you.
I think City is just
having
a morning.
When you point at us, four of your fingers are pointing back at yourself.
Oh, yeah. What's the thumb doing? The thumb is pointing at the two going, this guy.
The thumb is wiggling going.
That being said, Sidian's one of my favorite brains in the tadpole. He says stuff sometimes that blows my mind. I don't know why he doesn't have a show and for real. Like I think he's crazy.
Well, here's why. If you want to know the reason why, it just became evident in the
chat. Might be why.
Uh-oh.
Doesn't play well with others.
All right, let's see. No, I don't know if that's true. He's fine. All right, let's get in here.
I'm kidding.
Let's do... they give his name.
He's hilarious, though. He's the funny guy.
He's really
funny.
He's
the funny guy.
All right, I can't think of it, so I'll just say Robin Williams because I can't think of the other one.
I thought about that, but I didn't think anyone would
picking for that, but from the movies. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, show me Robin Williams. Show me Robin Williams.
Number two.
Yeah, it's definitely my favorite growing up.
All right. We're on a roll here.
Yes, we are. A roll of one.
Yeah, not much of a roll, is it? Let's go with...
We're on a Parker House, what is it? Parker House roll, Parker House bun. What are those called? Parker?
Oh,
we're
I know.
We're on a Parker Lewis Stevenson is what we're
saying. Right.
Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sure, all right. Show me Hot Pockets. Number five.
All right. You can't have him and not Brian Regan, you insane people.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah, they're both amazing. I wonder if Bill Burr's on here. Bill Burr.
Yeah,
he's having a moment.
Yeah, he's having a moment. He's doing pretty good right now.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Show me Bill Burr. Number eight. And I think
No, it was really slow. I was like, ooh, I don't know.
That might have put Scott into an unbeatable position. Maybe. But we'll keep going.
All right, we'll try it out and see what we get. All right. Chris Rock. Maybe he's on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good choice. Yeah. Show me Chris Rock. Everybody apparently hates Chris. No, Chris Rock was number 25 on the list.
That was a cool show when it was on. I liked Everyone Hates Chris. That was great. Do you ever see that? Do you ever see it?
I never saw any of it, but I heard it was really good. It was
very good. And I think Delroy Lindo is in it.
I like Delroy Lindo.
Yeah, who's also in The Harder They Fall, and he was great in that. All right, anyway. Brian, your turn. And Kit.
Kit, do you... Great. Do you have something, Kit?
Go ahead.
Jeff Foxworthy has always been funny.
Oh, see?
But I don't know.
Now you're thinking like the people. No. You're right.
I'm kidding.
But this tadpole, and you might be a redneck if you're in the tadpole. I don't know.
Is
that something?
Yeah, might be.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
All right. Okay. Show me Jeff Foxworthy. Number 79 in the list.
It's also how old he is, I think. Just kidding.
All right, well, Scott, they've got three strikes. You've got two, there are three answers left on the board. Including that ever popular number three.
Yeah.
Pretty high up on the list.
Yeah. Damn. Why can't anything come to me here? I mean, I used to love Mitch Hedberg. He died. Let's put Mitch Hedberg on there.
Mm. All right. You know, he's one of my favorite comedians.
As soon as he died, I hated him. But before he died, I loved him.
Yeah.
All right, show me Mitch Hedberg. That number three answer.
Oh, okay. I didn't think the tadpole would be in. I want to apologize to the tadpole.
You misunderstood them.
I read you all wrong.
Yeah.
I read you all wrong.
It's your fault. We blame you. All right, how about... the red leather suit. Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy.
There you go.
All right. Show me.
Put it in your butt.
Show me the red leather suit. Okay. Eddie Murphy, number nine. Only one name left on the board.
Okay. Nice. Scott's killing it this week. He's killing it like I did last week.
I like me some
previous
comedy.
Winner.
All right. I feel like they all lean toward the dead here. So, who is the screaming Sam Kinison? Put him on there. I don't think he was ever that funny, but a lot of people like Sam Kinison. So,
driving to where the food is. Yeah. All right, show me Sam Kinison. Indeed dead, but number 27 on the list, actually tied for 23rd place. Let's see that last answer. One of my favorites up there for me, right up there with George Carlin. John Mulaney,
sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought they would have said John Mulaney, but odd. Okay. But we never got to Sarah Silverman or.
Right. Or any ladies.
Or any ladies. I was trying to figure out the tadpole. Sorry.
Amy Schumer. Let's look at the rest of this list here. Rodney Dangerfield, Eddie Izzard, Patton Oswalt, Bill Hicks, Burt Kreischer, Billy Connolly, Bo Burnham, John Panette, Ricky Gervais, Stephen Wright, Bill Cosby somehow made the list.
Well, of course he did.
Yeah, he has to. The thing is, his impact on stand-up comedy is unreversible. He's an a-hole and a dirtbag, but...
But the question is, who is your favorite stand-up comedian, living or dead? Yeah. And it's not, you know, who's a talented comedian of any time? It's who's your favorite? And I'm four people. Or one person with four votes again.
Sure.
Right.
Jeff Dunham, number 26. Steve Martin, surprisingly lower on the list, but I guess you don't think of him as much as a stand-up comic these days.
Comedic actor more.
Tig Notaro. Is she our highest? Tig Notaro might be our highest female on this list, sadly.
Her comedy is amazing. She's really good.
Tom Segura, Chris Farley, Dara O'Brien, Don Rickles, James Acaster or Acaster, Jimmy Carr, Joe Coy, Kevin Hart, Lewis Black, Ali Wong, Anthony Jeselnik, Christopher Titus, Craig Ferguson, Dane Cook, Daniel Tosh. Titus. Only two votes. Ironically, two votes for Daniel Tosh. So we got 2.0 votes. Yeah.
Nice.
Dimitri Martin. Somebody said Gallagher, George Burns, Eliza Schlesinger, Joe Rogan. Come on now. Cat Williams, Mark Maron, Margaret Cho, Russell Peters, Taylor Thomas. The list goes on and on and on.
And not South Carolina native Aziz. No one said...
Oh, Aziz Ansari?
Yeah.
No, not even listed. Man. Ron Funches only got one vote, which surprised the hell out of me. I like Ron Funches, and I thought he deserved more than one vote. Whitney Cummings, Wanda Sykes. Somebody said Tim Cook.
Tim Cook, the CEO.
Tim Cook, the head of Apple, the great stand-up comedian.
He is hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. The products joke, oh, man. Every time he says products, they just roll. It's great.
Sinbad. Sebastian Maniscalco only got one vote, and I think he's funnier than one vote.
Sinbad has a new special out like this week or something.
And does he really?
Yeah, and it's called it's called Where Have I Been or You Thought I Was Dead or something like that. It
Sinbad
really is.
Sinbad used to get a bad rap. People used to hate his comedy publicly for some reason, even though I thought it was fine.
It's
I remember people.
Before or after that Christmas All the Way or Jingle All the Way.
Jingle
movie.
All the Way. I think this is before. I think we reached maximum amount of his exposure, and that's when people stopped.
Gotcha.
Like, no more Sinbad, please.
By the way, when are we watching that for Film Sac?
I thought we've already watched Jingle All the Way. Did we not? Whatever.
No, we have not.
Did you say Cat Williams?
Someone
Cat
did.
Williams is in the list, but
not worth him. Too low.
Oh, nobody said... Who's the little short guy that does stuff with The Rock all the time? Did you say him?
Kevin Hart. I love that Scott boils down everybody's personality to the worst. Like,
right,
weather
exactly.
He's not bad. He's just
problems.
A little guy.
Stuff with The Rock all the time.
Yeah, he's fine.
You know, the little hanger oner.
Again, surprisingly low on the list.
Probably one of the most financially successful comedians.
Sure.
Yeah, but see, what I'm trying to get to here is I think there's a correlation here of the bigger mainstream success you have as a comedian, the more comedy snobs put their nose up toward you. I really think there's like a weird discrimination once you hit major success and pay dirt. It's like, what's his name from King of Queens?
Kevin James.
He has his stand up is like legit funny, but that dude's career.
Big fat guy rides around on a Segway, whatever that guy's name is.
Yeah, exactly. But that's my point. Like, you went from like really respected, like, you know, comedian to, oh, you're too mainstream now, we don't like you. I think that happens a lot. It's a bummer.
Right.
You know, it's a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer. Although, I don't want to meet the person who thumbs up their nose at George Carlin.
No. Well,
I want to know you.
I feel like that dude stuck every landing he took.
He took some chances and he really nailed it a lot. Now, Sam Kinison,
controversy, but no scandals, which was
exactly.
At least I don't remember any. I don't think there were any.
You guys should listen to some stuff about Sam Kinison. He was just such a tortured soul trying to find
his
way. His
story is crazy. It was going to be a preacher.
In his dying moments, told through the eyes of his friend. Yeah. Oh my God. It's
pretty nuts. Yeah. His whole life story is crazy. There's a documentary somewhere. I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't remember where I saw it. All right. Well, the bottom line is we've kept Kit here even longer to just tell her that she lost.
We always have Kit around.
Yeah. She lost, but
keep
it's okay.
Kit in your pocket.
Kit, you can always play again. And also, you're just great and we love having you here. So you always can call again. So I hope you do. How do you feel about your loss, though? Tell us how you feel.
It's all right. We had fun and I got to hang out with three of my favorite comedians.
Aww.
So. Aww.
We're nowhere on that list.
No, none of us got a vote, by the way. Yes. No,
but that's very nice of you to say. All right, we will definitely
stand up for the entire show. I don't get it.
Oh, right. I see. You are a true stand-up.
I improv every episode and still no love.
Well, if that joke isn't enough to turn people, I don't know what will. Well done, everybody involved, especially Kit and Brian over here. Brian, we got Film Sack this weekend. How's that sound to you? You want to do that?
I guess it sounds all right, even if we are going to be doing Highlander, The Quickening.
Yeah, the second Highlander movie, you guys. We're all right. A little nervous about it.
I'm still mad about it. Is there only could be one, and there's a whole series of whatever.
Well, they don't mean only one movie, but they also screw over there can only be one winner or one eternal guy, because freaking Sean Connery comes back in two. How's that work?
I know, and it's on the movie poster in the first one. I got promises.
Yeah, that's some garbage.
He's a force ghost, is what he is.
Oh, all right. He's off in the corner, just looking blue and shimmery, and going
exactly. Yes.
Okay, giving advice, helping him. You know,
use the sword.
Cut his head off, Luke.
And no one voted for us.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Just a shock. Dunaway is Brian Dunaway on, or he's the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. You can also find him on his Twitch channel over there at Brian Dunaway. Right. Brian, have a great week. We'll see you this weekend.
No, you.
Bye. I like his no you. I think that's fun.
No, you.
No, you.
You know, I didn't tell you this. So Tristan's girlfriend works at Meow Wolf, right? We've talked about this, that new museum that opened up here. Super cool. Yeah. The other day, they had a very special celebrity guest walking through the museum.
Yeah.
And that would be saliva tosser himself, Richard Kind.
Whoa! Really?
Yes. Yes.
Richard Kind, on me when I was 18.
Voice actor from Inside Out, brother of Paul Reiser on Mad About You, or not brother, friend of Paul Reiser on Mad About You.
He walked the dog a lot or something, if I remember right.
Right.
He's exactly. In all sorts of stuff.
Oh, no, the dog walker was Hank Azaria.
Oh, Hank Azaria, right.
Hank Azaria, yeah. No, he was just a friend of... Yeah, Spin
right.
City. Anyway, but the guy who spit on you during a stand-up act, right?
Yeah, well, it was Second City, and they were doing an improv, and it was a whole group of people on stage, and he was standing right where he was and yelled, and he spit on me by accident. And somewhere I have this high school sketchbook that they took. I was drawing all the cast members during this same thing where he spit on me, and the waitress lady... cocktail waitress says, hey, can I take that in the back and have them look at it? And I said, sure, I guess so. And so she takes my whole sketchbook back into the rear, you know, backstage, shoved it up her rear. No, she didn't do that. And then she came back out and she had everybody in there sign it by their person, which
that's really
was
cool
because nobody got the wrong person, which means I had decent likenesses.
Right. That would have been horrible. Actually, that was this comedian and he signed next to that with Drew as a woman. Huh.
And the
all
most
right.
famous person from that cast is Richard Kind. Nobody else kind of went on to do anything. But
that's cool.
But that era was all him.
That's
all
awesome.
Right. Let's do a quick news story. Very quick. Yeah, that's right. It's time for some quick news brought to you by...
Keep your eye on the Frog Pants store because soon the 2021 Christmas card pack will show up there with art from Scott Johnson coming soon to frogpants.com/store.
Yep, that'll be very soon. Finish that all up over the weekend.
I saw those. Those look great.
Yeah, I got a Santa riding
spice
on
must
a...
Flow ho ho.
Ah, see, and, yeah, that's the one. That's a good one. That's the one I like. All right, well, check this story out. This is super dumb. A man who intentionally caught the coronavirus, the COVID-19 Delta variant, did it on purpose, wishes he had not done so. God. Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah. Feels real dumb to me. An unvaccinated man who intentionally caught the COVID-19 virus and was hospitalized now says he regrets his actions. In a post to Facebook, an Aucklander said he... I guess he's from Auckland, New Zealand.
From New Zealand, yep. That would be my guess. Yeah, New Zealand Herald.
It's just funny because New Zealand famously kept things to a very small minimum.
I know. They were really good. So he had to go and hug a lot of people to try and catch COVID.
Yeah, to really work for it. But I mean, they have a smaller population, but still, they did a pretty good job. Anyway, Aucklander said he tested positive for COVID-19 and was left weak and bedridden. The man became very ill, and it's understood he infected several family members. During the time of his infection, he was taken to a hospital and was recently discharged. The man said he survived COVID-19 as an unvaccinated person, but did not wish his experience on anyone.
Yeah. And if you several family members who did not intentionally catch COVID, who like did not agree to be part of his stupid plan.
There's something here. Let's see if I can read this. This is what is this? Is this him? I think it is him.
Is that a picture of him?
It's just a social media post where he says, "Last day in the hospital, just waiting on release." Or he'd say release because she's from New Zealand. Anyway, it's been confirmed that so-and-so can come home to me. God, I have never missed anyone so much. He has been a brave little guy with bleeped out, whatever that is. Can't wait to see him. I survived COVID unvaxxed, but I just want to say that I do not recommend this little experiment to anyone. This did floor me, which I did expect, but I have also upset some people and I put other people at risk, and I can't apologize enough for that. The staff in Northshire Hospital have been amazing to everyone and to everyone who have kept me in good spirits. Thank you. Love you all. So he's had a real change of heart, this guy.
Yes.
As you do.
Yeah,
you
know? I knew it'd floor me, but I'm really apologizing because I put other people at risk.
I knew I could handle it, but, in the end, maybe don't do this.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Well, that's that story. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, our good pal Tom Merritt will join us. We'll do a little tech time with Tom. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know what's going on today, but I heard something about, I guess Netflix launched their game service on iOS. I want to see what that is.
Yeah, right. It was on Android before, and now it's coming to iOS. Coming to an iOS device near you.
And there was another thing like that. Now I don't remember what it is. But we'll see what he has. We'll let him bring it.
Let's not spill his candy in the lobby. Let's let him do it.
Yeah, let him spill all his candy everywhere and his popcorn or whatever else hell thing you brought in there. Before that, though, we got to do a song break. So, Brian, why don't you do that?
Yes, it's time for me to play music by KVB, not to be confused with KGB. KVB, different band. These guys are an underground cold wave duo. This is produced by Andy Savers, who does Black Country, New Road, My Bloody Valentine, The Horrors. They've got a brand new album coming out November 26th via Invada Records. Ooh. And it's going to be really good, Scott. It's called Unity, the new album. And the song that we're going to be playing is the title track. It's spelled differently. So the album is spelled UNITY, like you normally spell Unity. This title track is spelled UNITE with an accent mark. It is Unite by the KVB.
Unity that happens. This is BBC World News. I'm Jonathan Charles, kept hidden for almost two decades and forced to bear children.
What would Jesus eat?
The Morning Stream. The sugar and cream in your coffee. Aww.
All right, we're back, and once again, that song was...
That band, by the way, not Russian, I should say. They're taking their time. No, they're from Spain. They're called the KVB. Their brand new album is called Unity. That's the title track right there, and damn if that doesn't take me back to the 1980s and bands like Animotion and Human League and stuff like that.
The greatest time in our lives, the 80s.
Some would say.
It was a great decade for a lot of people. For me, in particular. I had a great time. Yeah. It was a great time to grow up. I was a young boy. A young boy about town, learning the ways of man. All right. Very cool. Let's get Tom in here and do a little tech time with Tomas Merit, as he is sometimes known as. Here we go.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Joining us, as he always does on Wednesdays, from his beautiful downtown L.A.
From his beautiful three-quarter view.
Oh, yeah, it's one of those camera days. I like these days.
Yeah, not side cam, though.
No, it's more like a sweet, shouldery, I don't know what to call that. Yeah, I like it,
I can actually see get the dimensions of his room, and its location in the house.
See, now you see all the stuff he just has within reach. Whoa, TM DTS cup.
Whoa, it's like we're watching this in 3D.
This is crazy. Well, hi, Tom. How are you?
Oh, hi. How's it going?
Good. It's nice to see you. From this, both angles. You look great from both angles.
There's yes.
No complaints. Oh, you've seen my world from both sides now.
Yeah, I have from both sides now. I love that song. Hey, it's good to have you here. I was trying to pontificate about what you might bring to the tech table today.
Oh, yeah, because, it was sick.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. The Netflix stuff on mobile devices, the gaming service thing, which I have not checked out at all, and I guess that was technically yesterday. But there was
20th anniversary of the iPod.
Yeah, today. iPod anniversary.
Oh, happy birthday, iPod.
Yeah, yes. Tomorrow's it Skyrim's says thank you. Birthday. It
from,
says thank
from
you.
Deep in my drawer behind me.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. All right, let's see who's got the older iPod.
Oh, look at that. I bet Brian's is older.
This is a video iPod, so it's not that old.
Yeah. Brian, what do you got? Let's see.
Oh, well.
Pulling up something.
Shoot.
Oh, not handy, eh?
Not handy.
I have a
This one is, according to the engraving on the back, Eileen's fabulous iPod.
Oh, wow. That's very nice. That's very nice. It's very fabulous. I have a what were those called? The Nanos? Yeah, I have a Nano somewhere. I don't
know. I swallowed it by accident.
Like that one?
Oh, that's a that's
it's the video nano, isn't it?
Is that a Nano? No.
Is it? Or is that a video shuffle?
Maybe Nano.
Shit. I think that might be the same one Tom has.
Oh, yeah. Look at the black one. Oh, Tom can't see you, but yeah.
No.
But pretending. 20 years of the iPod.
Here's an oldie.
That one's older. Okay. That's the original.
Look at that raised. It's not the original. This the wheel doesn't spin. It's a click wheel stays in place. Oh, here's this is the Nano right here.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. That's the one I have.
Actually, and then here's the older Nano.
Yeah. Oh, you got the old gum. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, those are the days. 20 years, that's man. That's crazy to think.
The last one right here.
What do you got there? Oh, yeah.
20 years of iPods right here. Yeah, on the morning.
Right, exactly. I've got all 20
that's
years
amazing.
Of them.
I thought maybe it would be, I don't know, it's not much of a tech story, I guess, but Unity buying Weta Studios from Peter Jackson for $1.9
That's pretty
billion.
Big, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big one. But I'm guessing you got something totally different. Then that's fine. What do you got?
I was going to talk about something totally different, but I'm glad you mentioned the Netflix thing because I want to point out that the Netflix games strategy, nobody really knows what it is yet. A lot of people jump to the conclusion that they want to compete with Stadia or Project xCloud, that kind of thing, which maybe they do. But I have been skeptical of that. I originally thought they're just going to want to extend the brand. They're going to want you to play Stranger Things games. They're going to want you to, you know, play a Squid Game. But they did launch two Stranger Things games, but they were games that they had already developed. The other three games are, you know, things like Card Blast, like just normal mobile games. And if you haven't heard anything about this, the way it works is you get the game from Netflix and you log in with your Netflix ID and you can play the game. If you don't have a Netflix ID, you can't play the game. It's as simple as that. It's a kind of a freebie with your Netflix subscription. You can play these games. People are making a big deal out of the fact that on iOS, because of the way the App Store rules work, you have will have a games tab show up in the Netflix app that will just kick you out to downloading each game separately as its own app. And then you'll play it in a separate app. And those who think that Netflix wants to do some kind of Stadia-like streaming service are pointing out that that'll be untenable. They won't be able to do that for long. Whereas over on Android, the way Netflix is doing this is having a tab for the list of games and then kicking you out to the Play Store to download each mobile app separately. Which is exactly what they're doing on iOS.
Well, this is not new that those two worlds often don't pay attention to what each other is doing, but yeah, it sounds like it's the exact same.
I've seen very respectable reporters doing calisthenics, trying to say like, yes, they're doing that on Android, but they won't do that forever on Android, we think, and on iOS they won't be allowed to change. So in the future, if they decide to do something different in one place, they won't be able to do it, and therefore let's be outraged.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'll be outraged when it happens.
Yeah.
I know I'm old-fashioned that way, but I'm going to wait until it's actually a different system on each platform.
So you'd like to not jump to conclusions, perhaps, and let things happen the way they are going to happen before you form a contrary opinion to something, right? Is that what you're telling me?
I'll even form a conclusion based on what's actually happened. I won't jump to assumptions in this case. Like, yeah. There's not even a thing to jump off of to get to a conclusion, as far as I can tell. But sure. I don't know. That's been very entertaining for me. I'm sure, other people are probably going to be right. I was wrong about Netflix sticking just to branded stuff when Card Blast came out. So who knows?
Yeah. They seem to be, they've got ideas. I'm curious how it's all going to go. And I've kind of come around, I guess, in your direction about I'm not so sure that they have a big streaming play with games prepared, at least not now.
I wouldn't put it off a roadmap. There might be a roadmap in Netflix somewhere where they're like, first we do this, and then we do that, and then eventually we get to that. Like, I wouldn't deny that at all. That's definitely how Netflix works, right? They started with streaming as library stuff, but they said, you know, down the road we'd like to do originals, and now Netflix is almost entirely originals, at least as far as what people watch on it, right? Yeah. You know, you hear fewer people talking about watching library stuff on Netflix and more people talking about their new things like Squid Game and You and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
so, down the road, that they might eventually transition to that. I don't think that's the near-term situation. I think they just kind of want to get people interested and used to seeing games associated with Netflix somehow.
Makes sense, though, that people jump to that conclusion because they're like, giant streaming giant. That's what they do. They stream content. Right. Why wouldn't they? But it's kind of a different technological question than it is than I think people think it is. So,
yeah.
I agree with you. It's probably not off
and
the table.
And it was also my thing with Netflix was they don't tend to stray outside the lines. People are saying, oh, they'll do ad supported. And they're like, nope. We bring you video entertainment, and some people are like, oh, they'll start doing a free channel. Nope, we are a subscription service. Like, they have not done the things that you have seen other streaming services do: play around with free versions with ads too much. They do have some free versions, but they're not ad supported. They stick very close to their vision. They're very good at avoiding mission creep, and a video game streaming service felt like mission creep if it wasn't supporting their entertainment brands, which is why I was a little skeptical until they brought out Card Blast. I'm like, well, that's definitely not a brand. There's no Card Blast show that I'm aware of. So who knows?
Yeah. Also, them sticking to their mission and not having mission creep, like you mentioned, is only a thing that the other services have had to do to try to compete or one up Netflix, or not one up them, but to say, all right, well, we're not Netflix, but we want to sure try for more of that market. What do we do? Well, what if we offer
the free thing? We've got the extended thing, or whatever. We got live sports. Live is another thing. Netflix is like, nope, we're not interested in live. Not going to do live, where lots of the other streaming services are, for exactly the reason you're talking about.
Yeah, if something threatens their dominance, then okay, well, then we'll talk, because maybe then they'll have a taste for live, or a taste for free, or a taste for two tiers, or I guess they already have two tiers, but you know what I mean. They may be more flexible when they're faced with competition that truly threatens their position, but right now they're in, you know, they're in top spot whether you like it or not. And I happen to like it. I think Netflix is putting out some great shit. So no complaints here. Well, there you go. That's a, it's an interesting thing. I'm going to mess with it later because I want to see what's up.
I mean, if you're wondering, these are quick games. These are games that you can quickly launch, quickly play. Maybe there's a name for that part of the service that they could use, like, you know, Quickster.
I like
what
it.
What a great name. Boy, I wonder if anyone's ever used that in the past.
I wonder if they can get
like
the rights to that name. Yeah,
I can't even imagine. Maybe when you make friends, can you play with other people and they call that Friendster? They'd make it part of that. Let's do that.
Or you could have them all in a space. Oh, and that could be my...
I'll be like space. Your space, my space.
My space. Sure, mm-hmm. That's a really clever one.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't know.
Or, you know, they might assemble people into these cities around the Earth or Geo. Maybe have some name.
Yeah. Well, they have so many. They have so many supernatural shows, Brian. That they might bring in some kind of, you know, supernatural name. You know, to get people really excited, like get them fired up, like an angel fire.
Fire. Yeah. Oh my lord, we're going back further in time by the second. Well, all right. This is a very cool. People should check it out.
Or we can take all three of our names and make a tripod out of it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, hey, they called me tripod in high school, but I'm not telling you why. Anyway.
Wow.
Later today, 2:30 Mountain Time, there will be the Daily Tech News Show, and I will be there because Wednesdays are my day, damn it. That's when I get to go on, and I really enjoy doing it. So check out the show. And make sure you hang around for whatever else is going on in tech.
Yeah, Sarah Lane's in there preparing the document right now.
Oh, very nice. Is this is this her first day back since?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Wednesdays. I think Wednesdays. See, this is why Wednesdays are cool. Lots of momentous things happening.
Wednesday's kind of the best day for everything.
It's a pretty good day. No offense, everyone else. Anyway,
can't argue with that.
Tom, anything else going on you want to mention or promote or otherwise?
I'm doing my NaNoWriMo, my National Novel Writing Month novel, having a blast. And it's always, every year I think, like, do I really need to do NaNoWriMo? I mean, I kind of write all year long now, but every year I get there and I'm like, nope, this is definitely helping, definitely pushing me along. So if you want an update or insight, I'm going to talk about my NaNoWriMo experience on my newsletter. So those of you already subscribed, look for that on Friday. Or if you're interested in getting that content, check it out, freetomnewsletter.com.
Well, very nice. Tom Merritt, everybody, Ace Detect on Twitter. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
And we'll see you in your Geo City. Bye now. I haven't heard the term Geo Cities in a long time. So I just downloaded the app. I was just trying to see if I could get it to go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the
tab.
Were
you able to make it go?
It must not have rolled out to me yet. It's updated. So also, there's a tab in here called Quick Laughs. No, Fast Laughs. The hell is that?
Oh yeah, I saw that the other day, but it's only in mobile.
Yeah, and so it's like,
is it like a clip from The Office or like it's just random funny clips from movies and TV shows?
Oh, okay,
right?
It must be.
Or does it just go to pick up a random sitcom?
Oh, you know what it's like? They lay it out like TikTok.
Oh, they totally do.
And so
it is.
Gilmore.
It's like a little segment. Oh wow, and it just flipped up from Gilmore Girls to Drunk Parents.
And I can flip them.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of want to mess with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right.
Okay. Michael Chee, we forgot about him. He's a funny guy.
He's hilarious. I didn't think he was even on the list.
He does some stand-up. That's where he got started.
He's got good chi, but he's a Che.
Perfect. All right. What are we doing now? Oh, yeah. We got to do recommendals.
That's right. And, with Randy. Yep,
we got good old Randy Deluxe joining us.
Got to get all Randy in here.
Get all Randied up and ready to rock. Got to find the proper thing here. Here it is. Hey, guys, look who it is. It's Randy Jordan joining us as his moniker, Randy Deluxe. He's the best version of himself, the deluxe version. And he joins us on Wednesdays for little recommendals. How's it going there, Randy?
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Hello.
Usually have to add, usually have to add another Brian on there, but
I know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How you Scott, doing? Brian, Tadpool.
I just asked how you doing, but I've been listening, so I know.
You know exactly how
we're doing. Why waste time on that?
You know how poorly this is going.
Because wasting time is what we do. Like, it's our skill.
Yeah, Yeah, I'll tell you what.
That's why talking about a horrible movie takes us 2 hours, sometimes longer than the movie itself.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've been questioning lately why our Film Sack episodes got a lot longer over the last 2 years. And I know we've all been talking about, yeah, I know, genetics. I know we've been talking about, well, it's the pandemic and we're like bored or something, but yeah. I think there's something else. I can't figure it out, but there's something else. Like as we go, it's like we're getting closer to each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like exactly. I like talking to you guys about movies, even if it's not the one that we just watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. Some of our best stuff lately has been like a weird, not just a normal tangent, but like a meaningful drift into other contexts. And it's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. So maybe what's happening, the pandemic has made us all, it's done one of the two extremes. It's made us really far apart for some people. And much closer for others.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've had a really hard time the last couple of years talking to my brother.
Yeah.
Like he and I text each other. That's how we communicate mostly.
Yeah.
And I just like more and more time goes by between our left on red periods, our sessions where one of us leaves the other one red. Right. Like it's really strange.
But then there
are people like you that I feel like I talk to every day. Yeah. And like we didn't used to so much a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's weird. We live in a weird time, everybody. So get down on it.
down on it.
I don't know why I said that. Hey, Come on, you know what time it is. It's time for recommendals. Now, the way we do this is we usually give Brian the beginning spot, and we are doing that. He's got two today. Brian, I'm going to play these clips, but you just got to set these up for me. So
sure. Both of my clips today are movies, no series today. I mean, you know, last week was Money Heist, which is still ongoing series, just broke my heart a couple days ago. Gotta say that.
Oh yeah.
Man. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about. It's a person with a city name. Anyway, this is one of the things that I kind of took advantage of Tina being out of town to watch.
Okay. So nice.
What is that? Okay. All right.
Because she doesn't like movies like this.
But took advantage of Tina. That's a
no. I took
I'm
advantage
not used
of
to you saying
of and then in parentheses Tina being out of town. It's a mathematical formula. You do the in parentheses first.
That makes perfect sense to me. All right, here it is. Let's check it out.
I'm not going to hurt you. Don't worry. You're not going to believe me. And I need you to remember what I'm saying.
Hey.
This thing, it's going to follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you back in the car. It could look like someone you know, or it could be a stranger in a crowd. Whatever helps it get close to you. It can look like anyone. But there's only one of it. Sometimes I think it looks like people you love just to hurt you.
Wow, no idea.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make a guess. Is this like a movie from like 7 or 8 years ago called It Follows?
That's exactly what it is. It's more about the tech support industry. It's called IT Follows. And it's about somebody who really needs help with their Microsoft Word.
Someone's getting a voice for that. Finally. Gosh, dang.
It is. It's 2014's It Follows. This is a horror film. That is impressively low budget. Like, you know, it's really good for looking like it's low budget, whether or not it is low budget. This won some, I think it won an award at the Cannes Film Festival for being innovative. And it really is. It's an interesting premise. Basically, just like the guy described, this thing will follow you and constantly be walking towards you like that old Daleks game that we used to play on our Apple 2Es. And it'll look like either somebody you love or a stranger, but it'll be very apparent after a while that it is walking directly towards you.
Ugh.
and it gets passed from person to person like the worst STD through sex, which, as we know from our horror movie watching, is grounds for murder. Yeah. if you have sex as a teenager, you deserve whatever happens to you in a horror film.
That's how it works.
Directed by David Robert Mitchell. I don't know what else he's done.
It's got three names.
This is his biggest thing.
Yeah, three name directors are always ones to pay attention to. They got the three names. I like that.
And there is talk of a sequel, but it's the third act, and it's not a spoiler to say that they kind of have a showdown with the creature, is some of the coolest special effects and premise by these kids that I've ever seen. It's really, really clever.
Mm.
All right, it's called It Follows. It's on Netflix, and you can watch it today.
I'm gonna watch it.
And you liked it enough to recommend it. So
I liked it enough to recommend it, yes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Which is generally what we do. Yeah.
And Tina would have hated it.
I don't want to watch the horror movie. This sounds like Kim would hate it too, so I'm glad you said that. All right, yes. Excellent. Here's number two. Also a film, I take it?
Number two, also a film.
All right,
and
here we
something
go.
A little bit newer.
Here it is.
Why me? I am no criminal.
Because the next job we intend to take on,
shit.
You are the only one who can it off.
I knew I'd steal Randy's.
Nobody knows more than you do about Hans Wagner. And now that I know you've got the skills to match, I think you're the man for the job. Please stop saying gulp.
I'm nervous.
No, it's okay if you do it, but saying it is incredibly stupid.
What is the mark?
A reasonable question.
It couldn't possibly be.
It is.
The ring cycle.
The fucking ring cycle.
No.
Yes, it's the ring cycle.
Holy shit.
Yes.
Which one? The Rangot? The Valkyrie?
Yes.
Both?
Yes. And the Siegfried. The outbreak in America. You're familiar?
Yes, I heard something about it.
No idea.
Okay, so you could go ahead and play my clip now and jump to me.
Do you have two? Do you have two or just one?
No, just the one.
Ready?
And
I'll let you have this one. I'll let you.
I actually lingered on the section that you clipped and decided to go for the more introductory section.
No,
yeah, the one before that.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. I'll play it and see if I can figure this out any more than I already have.
For this video today, I will be switching into English for my international friends and fans. The story I will be telling you today is one of my absolute favorites. And I hope you too will get great enjoyment out of it, like I do.
Once upon a time, in a faraway land called Munich, far away, that is, if you are one of my international friends, there was an old brick building on the edge of the city. The building was the factory of a respectable locksmith named Hans Wagner. He was once a hard-working family man, a pillar of the community, until his wife and son died tragically. In his waning years, his greatest work truly began. A series of four safes, one for each opera of Richard Wagner's legendary Ring Cycle, comprised of four epic operas with roots in Norse mythology. The four safes being Das Rheingold, Die Walküre or The Valkyrie, The Siegfried, and finally, The Götterdämmerung. Also known as the Twilight of the Gods.
All right, so this is that unlock the shit from the dead or whatever. It's the spinoff.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's the prequel to Army of the Dead or Army of the or what was the
Army of the Dead. Dead? Army of the Dead was our Zack Snyder, Dave Bautista film.
Yeah,
and then this is the prequel called Army of Thieves, which
got it
has the curly-headed German guy Dieter, who's name in this movie is Sebastian. It's explained why.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how? And, so Randy, how is it? Is it like
it's incredible? Like seriously, like I actually think I like it more than Army of the Dead.
Well, I hope so because I think Army of the Dead is not that great. I think it's okay, but you know,
all right,
yeah.
It runs contemporaneously with the first scene of Army of the Dead. Mm-hmm. So you know how Army of the Dead starts with our sort of inception on how the zombie came to be, right?
Yeah.
This movie sort of follows that, like in the first scenes you see on the TVs behind our main characters that there's a zombie outbreak in the US and right. it's something that they are concerned about but not too
and
much
it, and it's very barely just connected to this plot by some strings the zombie outbreak in the US but not the focus. You know, it happens to be related to what they're doing in this movie.
It's like a full-on heist movie, right? Like the whole thing is
heisty. It is a full-on heist movie.
Yeah.
Whereas Army of the Dead was a heist movie inside a zombie movie, this is flat-out heist only, and multiple heists, and the cinematography is just great. Like it's just, it takes place kind of all over Europe, and it's got a real like James Bond-esque quality to it in cinematography and the freaking score, Scott, you're gonna love the Hans Zimmer soundtrack. It's a solid movie from beginning to end, and the thing about it is it gets better. Like with Army of the Dead, I think like one of the things we didn't like about it was that it kind of peaks early and then it doesn't have much to do. Like it doesn't get better and better, it doesn't build on itself,
right?
Whereas this film builds up to an end that is just, it's heartbreaking and beautiful. And yeah.
All right. I hear it. The one thing I did hear about is it's got a lot of CSI style locking mechanism video of like,
which
here's the little thing.
That whole three-dimensional view inside the safe. And you see a lot of that in this is fantastic. It's so gorgeous.
Yeah. I want to see it.
Makes me want to 3D print a bunch of stuff is what it does.
Nice. Make your own locks. Why not?
And they let Matthias Schweighofer direct the film. So he's directing himself.
Oh, this is him? The actor's directing it? I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not directed by Zack Snyder, but...
I knew that, but I didn't know the actor guy was a director. That's cool.
Yeah. No idea. Yeah. And he does a really good job. Like, I mean, you would hope, right, that an actor could figure out how to direct themselves. But like I say, the cinematography is really good. His real life wife is in the movie. She's one of the extras in the crew. She's not the main woman. But yeah. Yeah.
And is she Karina?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, he's a lucky man.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's just, the thing is, it's fun and it never stops. It's not a movie that like, that like tells your story and then it gets into itself. There's no navel gazing in this movie. Like it's just another heist after another heist. And the character is so well considered. Like that's the main thing, is it took everyone's character from the first movie, right? Mm-hmm. And built a movie around him and didn't go overboard. The character is worthy of this.
Interesting. Well, I was already going to see it, but I hadn't put any priority on it, but it sounds like my jam. I think I'm definitely going to see it now. Sounds good. Kim probably enjoy this as well.
Yeah, excellent. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause does the zombie threat in America ever come to any sort of fruition, or is it sort of,
just, well, remember, this is a prequel, right?
Right.
So you're only going to find out, like I say, what happened in the first couple of scenes of Army of the Dead.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Like that's what this overlaps with.
Got it.
But it definitely has an impact on the end of the movie.
Isn't there a third film being worked on that's also somehow connected? Like he had ideas for branching this out to be a whole series of things. I don't know what that is. Maybe that doesn't exist and I made it up, but I thought there was some third prequel coming out.
There's a TV, like a animated thing coming out, Army of the Dead Lost Vegas.
That might be one.
Planet of the Dead is in development as well. So yeah, there is a whole Army of the Deadiverse or something like that. I don't know. We need to work on what that's going to be called. We got plenty of time to do it though.
Yeah, we got time.
And you would think if Planet of the Dead was a straight up sequel, we'd already know who the cast is. Admittedly, Army of the Dead kind of killed a lot of the cast, but like you would think. And the only thing we've heard about that is that an actor named Omari Hardwick is in it, and that's a complete newcomer for that as a series.
Well, there, it seemed like there were a lot of newcomers in this. I was looking, obviously, the main actress that you heard in that clip or in my clip, you'd recognize her as from Game of Thrones. She was
Missandei.
Yes.
Oh.
And
she's
the one who was with the eunuch, or not eunuch, the guy who, not the eunuch, the head soldier.
They all had their wieners removed. Those guys.
He was a eunuch.
He was a eunuch, but he wasn't the eunuch.
Yeah, the eunuch.
I consider Varys to be the eunuch.
Yeah, he is Lord Eunuch for sure.
He's kind of a eunuch.
Yeah,
that's Natalie Emmanuel, and she was also in like Maze Runner movies, and she was in the seventh Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's cool. She
can do no wrong. Like seriously, you're just gonna stare at her throughout this entire movie, Scott. She completely takes up the entire screen.
She's unworldly beautiful, that lady. All right, well, I'm gonna watch Army of Thieves, available now on Netflix as an original.
Yeah,
part of the Zack Snyder megaverse or whatever they're calling it.
Yes.
All right, very nice. Well, here's mine. No one stole this because it's old and I knew nobody would, so here it is. See if you can figure it out.
You climbed up on the stove, right? You could have hurt yourself or set the place on fire again. Do you remember that? You did that.
Climbed up on the stove, big deal. Look, I am staying here. I'm not going to go rot.
Listen to me. Look at your hands. Look at your neck. You're a menace to yourself. Do you know that?
Go back to Richmond. I know you miss your lady friend anyway. You go. That's fine. I'm fine here.
Any ideas?
First Wives Club. Scott watched the First Wives Club and enjoyed it greatly.
Finally got around to it.
No, that woman sounds so familiar. The second one who was talking, who was that?
Yeah. That's Anne Ramsey, you know, for a ton of things.
Yes.
She plays a character named Sarah Logan here. There's a hint in the last name.
Is that not a Bill and Ted movie?
Nope.
Logan.
Nope.
It's Jill, the movie Logan, starring Hugh Jackman as Logan.
Definitely not a comedy.
His wife, Sarah.
It's, all right, so I'll let loose here. It was on. Yeah. So Jill Larson is the older lady you're hearing. She's an amazing actress, worked for 50 years or something. She's older and awesome. She's really great. Anyway, the movie is called The Taking of Deborah Logan. It's a movie on Shudder. Was originally in theaters, though, back in 2014. Now, I'd never heard of it. I like a good found footage / fake documentary horror movie. I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. Sad thing is there's not lots of good ones. And, you know, Blair Witch sort of blew that all up, and then others have tried but failed in certain ways or whatever. But The Taking of Deborah Logan is this idea that there are these documentary filmmakers that are going to this lady's house. The lady's name is Deborah Logan. Her daughter Sarah Logan is there helping her, played by Anne Ramsey. And you know her from, like, she was on Seinfeld and, like, Mad About You and, like, a million comedies and TV shows and everything. She'd been in a million things. Anyway, Jill Larson's character is in the early stages of just diagnosed Alzheimer's, or at least that's what everyone thinks. So this documentary filmmaker and her crew are going into their house to spend time with her, to see how this early stuff goes, to kind of watch the decline and make a movie about Alzheimer's. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the movie makes you think, well, maybe that's all this is. Obviously it isn't.
Things go on. If you've seen the movie poster, you're not thinking that going in.
No, she goes from, you know, what we think are these simple symptoms to some really gnarly stuff. And in the end, it turns out she's straight up possessed by some sort of horrible demon. And it turns out it's all involves like this ritual and some other stuff. But anyway, it's one of those horror movies. And it's really good at, she's standing in the corner looking real weird and the camera lingers there just a little too long and you're like, why are we looking at her still? Oh my gosh, get the camera. Like those kinds of like really uncomfortable, scary moments, which is why I like these movies. You know, think Blair Witch, at the very end, dude staring in the corner and then the camera guy taken out. And then the camera's laying there while the guy's staring at the corner. Like, it's just something really, really unsettling about all of that. And this is full of that sort of stuff. There's one scene in particular, which I'm not going to describe in too much detail, but let's just say she begins the process of eating somebody else. And it's gnarly. It's really gnarly. Like, not super gory or anything. The movie's not really relying on that, but it has some real moments of disconcerting visuals that really threw me. Anyway, it's out now on Shudder. I ended up.
It's on Amazon Prime. I'm going to list Amazon Prime for you.
Oh, it is. Really? I thought it was I thought you could only do it on Prime if you had a Shudder.
I am looking at it on Amazon Prime, and I do not have any.
All right,
sort of
there you go. So most of you have Prime. You can watch it with no problem. So I watched it after Halloween, which is a little bit weird. It's kind of a, you know, it's better, probably better suited for Halloween, but it's just a good horror movie, and I thought it was really, really good. I think the acting's amazing. In particular, Jill Larson is really good in this. And the documentary filmmaker people like this, Michelle Ang, I hated her in this. And she's a
fine actor. Oh, my gosh, that's perfect.
One of those type of characters.
Yeah, it's one of those that's like, quick, get the camera on. We need this footage.
Yeah,
like, dude,
right.
There's a bigger problem here than your damn movie. Like that kind of thing. She's very good at conveying all of that. There's some really, it's just a gnarly, weird thing. And if you look at that poster...
Yeah, that poster's damn disturbing. Yeah. There's nobody looking at that and saying, I wonder if this is a documentary.
Well, yeah.
And there's another poster. If you look at it in Amazon, there's this other poster that's even worse.
Oh, God, really?
Okay.
Yeah, is it her eating whatever she's eating?
Yeah. Wow, I can't believe the body part she started with.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I could have just as easily today done recommendals for Finch and for... The Harder They Fall.
The Harder They Fall. Yeah, like that's what I was expecting, honestly. So
right, yeah. I don't understand why I didn't get The Harder They Fall from you.
The problem is I'm stacked up. I usually don't have backup. I have, you know, usually one thing a week if I'm lucky. But right now I've got like four things backed up, and those were some of them. But I do want to at least say The Harder They Fall was the coolest effing thing I've seen in a long time. So people should watch The Harder They Fall on Netflix. It's a Western with Idris Elba, John Majors, lady, can't think of her name, Regina King. That's who I meant. Oh, and that one too. Yeah, she's great. Delroy Lindo in a really cool role. It's awesome.
And it's so written good. And directed by Seal's little brother.
Yeah.
And so there's this musical aspect to it. I didn't love it as much as you did, Scott. I don't like to argue people out of liking something, so that's not what I'm saying. I just it is not for everybody. Very graphic violent movie.
Oh yeah
like it is as graphic violent as you can get in a movie.
Yeah,
and there's like musical aspects of it that I think won't be loved by a lot of viewers.
It's subversive.
It's really like a
ways.
Tarantino film got mixed up with Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, it's weird.
Really?
It's got rap and reggae and then just weird choices.
Thrown into a Western.
Yeah. Everything you're talking about are the things I liked about it. I like when they switch crap up like that and, you know, make you feel different than your traditional Western. But I really liked it. Yes, it is very violent though. So just know everybody.
Well, and I, you know, Scott and I have talked about this many, many times. As a lover of Westerns, you end up liking this one particular thing that the good ones all do, which is they build up to a showdown.
Yeah.
Like all Westerns. Yeah. Like they've got a showdown at the end. You know it's going to come. You spend most of the movie finding out who you like and who you want to see killed and who you don't and so on.
Yep.
And then the end of it, the climax of the movie is you seeing what you hoped for not happens often. Yeah. And that's like entertaining, right?
Yeah, sure.
And in this case, the movie actually made me forget that there was a showdown coming at the end.
Yeah.
Like that's how clever and interesting it is to watch.
Yeah.
You know, that I totally forgot about the whole OK Corral aspect, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like mesmerized by how these actors and characters look and how they talk and so on.
Yeah, it was great. I would recommend it to almost everybody except for those who are maybe a little squeamish about a lot of gunfighting and shooting and stuff, because there are moments. Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it. Those are our recommendals this week. Randy puts these together on his Twitter account over there at Randy Deluxe. If you follow him, he'll post it and we'll retweet it on our main account. And it'll be great. Randy, thanks, man. I hope your week's great. We're looking forward to that second horrible Highlander movie this weekend.
Yeah,
we really are. And, you know, this is the week of the year when everybody's an energy vampire because of the time change. So I'm just trying to get through it, man. Trying to go to bed early.
Yeah.
I suggest you do too. Robertson.
It's not a bad Nandor. That's not bad.
Yeah. I haven't worked on one. That's the first attempt at a Nandor I've done.
Well done.
Yeah, I don't want to. My favorite Nandor thing is I can't say it on film on this stream. It's when he says effing guy.
Effing guy.
Yeah, I love that.
I love it when he does that too.
It's I love that. Okay, we're all going. Not you, Kieran.
We'll see you later. That was great. All right. Hey, recommendals. Another one down, everybody.
Yeah.
This is working out
yeah.
good. Yeah. The segment is in good hands while Nicole is hard at work at school. I've seen a bunch of pictures she's been posting. She's got those kids busy, man.
Man, I never expected her to be using a yardstick to keep those kids in line, but whatever it takes. Yeah. I like seeing her in that role.
Yeah, yeah. They call her Nicole Corporal Punishment Spagnolo there. And then,
Nicorporal Punishment.
Nicorporal. Yeah, there you go.
Nicorporal, yeah.
All right, that is going to do it for today's show, I believe. Double checking my notes here. Yeah, that's all we've got today. Of course, DTNS Day for me. Coverville tomorrow. We got all kinds of stuff this week. So
yeah, so much stuff.
We'll fill you in on what's going on. A reminder: we're not here for the week of Thanksgiving. We're taking that off. We do a very rare week off type thing around here, and so that's what we're doing. Taking that week off. So look forward to that.
But that's 2 weeks away. You guys got plenty of time with us. We have plenty of custody time with you to treat you well so that when we send you back to your mom for that week around Thanksgiving, you'll still love us more.
That's right. You'll love us more. And if one day, if I can get full custody of the tadpole, we're still going to work on that. But for now, it's fine. We'll do what the court asks us to do. All right. That's it for the show. Please support us at patreon.com/TMS. It's how the show survives, and I mean that with every fiber of my being. So go sign up, patreon.com/TMS, and a huge continual thanks to those who already do. That's it. We're out of here. Do you want to play a song? I bet you do.
Yes, I do. I do. And this is a song related to a new movie that I'm interested in seeing. Dan Andrews wrote in and said, "Salutations, Scott and Brian. I went to see Last Night in Soho this weekend, and being a fan of oldies, I really enjoyed the soundtrack/score to the movie. I did learn that a couple of songs that I'd only known from the 80s are actually covers, specifically Always Something There to Remind Me and Got My Mind Set on You. And if you just realize that's a cover, you don't listen to me very often, because just about every time Scott brings that song up, I talk about the fact that George Harrison covered James Ray, who's on the soundtrack. So if it's not too much trouble, I'd love to hear a cover of either of those songs from the soundtrack or from or by my favorite artist on the soundtrack, Dusty Springfield. Ah, she's great. Plenty of options for you to choose from. So anything that strikes your fancy will be fine with me. Signed, Dan Andrews.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah, that's one I'm looking forward to seeing. Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho with a woman looks in the mirror and finds that her eyes have moved to the side of her head. And is the story what I gather from the preview. So is that not it? Is that not the plot?
No, she looks in the mirror and she realizes the Vavitch is in the mirror. You know? She doesn't know what to do, but she does get really good at chess all of a sudden. It's a strange
thing. Turns into the daughter of, or the little sister of Colossus.
Yeah. And young Furiosa, which is weird. I don't know how it's all going to work out.
Very strange. It's so strange. Mm. All right. This is a cover of the song that was originally written by Britt Bacharach and Hal David. The version you hear in Last Night in Soho is by Sandy Shaw. She's not the original. Ray Johnston actually did it originally from Bacharach and David's writing. But this is a cover done that's a lot more like the Naked Eyes version of the song. It's Always Something There to Remind Me. It's by the Hippos, and it's from Heads Are Gonna Roll.
Always something left to remind me. I was born. let you go when there is always something there to remind me. Always something there to remind me. I was born to love her, and I will never be free. You'll always be a part of me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Exterminate.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.